Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Charlotte Tuggle, filling in for Stan Jastrzebski. My guest this week, speaking by phone from his office, is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. Thanks for being with us.
Charlotte, it's always a pleasure, and greetings from Frankfort.
And you can always call in with your questions by dialing 765-496-1999. You can also send us an email to ask@wbaa.org or tweet us a question at WBAA News on Twitter. Now, Mayor McBarnes, I'd like to start with a national conversation that's going on right now. The Trump administration is considering cutting food stamp benefits, which is a move that could really affect Clinton County, where about two of every three families is considered food insecure, and where nearly 3,800 families currently take advantage of that program, about a quarter of the households in the county. How is your city responding to this?
Well, I think this topic is an interesting topic, Charlotte, because I believe under President Lyndon B. Johnson, when the SNAP program was initiated around that time, the big push for that program was to battle a malnutrition situation that we had nationwide. And it's interesting now, in today's realm, we're actually fighting an obesity issue throughout our society. So I think it's a little interesting when you look at it from that angle of how times have changed. Now, of course, you know, we want everyone in Clinton County to be well fed. And I can tell you on the local level, we have several organizations such as the YMCA, the Salvation Army. We have several churches with food pantries that if individuals need meals, we can supply them food. As a matter of fact, the YMCA, for example, provides free lunches at the TPA Park almost every day for kiddos that need to come out and eat. So we're trying to do what we can locally to make certain that individuals are well fed. And that's what we can do on a local level. But I will tell you, too, I think a big part of this is the continuation in the push to encourage people to, if they are able, to leave the entitlement system and to go to work. And so what I think I can do as a local mayor is to continue to build a business-friendly environment that creates good jobs, good careers, so that able-bodied individuals don't need to rely on a SNAP program and can go out into our industrial park or a small business in our community and not only receive a good wage, but also receive good health care benefits. And what I can tell you is, and I can speak with a little bit of authority on this because my wife is actually in human resources within our industrial park, our industrial organizations are so hungry for workers right now. And so if individuals out there are looking for jobs, I encourage them to check in with the Chamber of Commerce, make calls straight directly to our industrial park. You can't drive up and down State Road 65 or 28 without seeing signs from NHK, NTK saying we need help, hiring at $14.50 an hour plus great benefits. And ultimately, I think the best social program, as President Reagan once said, is a good job. So I think locally, along with helping expand our food pantries, making sure that our kiddos are receiving good nutrition, is that we continue to build a business-friendly environment that allows people to leave the entitlement system and provide for their family by the sweat of their brow and bring home a proper amount of money so that they can put food on the table and build a great career for themselves.
That kind of leads me to my next question. 76 of Indiana's 92 counties have a higher per capita income than Clinton County does, and your city has about half of the county's population within it. So do you feel that it's incumbent on you to stand up more for the economically disadvantaged in your community? I know you discussed getting off of the entitlement system, but while that is happening, are you kind of their speaker, especially with a billionaire in the White House?
Well, I can tell you, I speak for every single person that calls this community home, whether they make $20,000 a year, whether they make $200,000 a year, whether their family has owned a successful business for 50 years or they moved to this community last year. I am their voice, and I'm here to represent them. One thing that we have tried doing, and something that I think, you know, a stigma in society that we have to fight, you know, I think young people, not the route of the baccalaureate degree or master's degree isn't for everyone. And with skyrocketing tuition costs, you have most bachelor degree students nowadays graduating with tons of debt, and they go into a workforce, then they're paying back student loans 10, 15, 20 years. And I think especially for people in our community, I want to send the message that that's the reason we brought Ivy Tech Community College to our community, so that individuals that maybe can't afford to go to Purdue or can't afford to go to Indiana University, they can stay right here in Frankfort. They can, through working with our campus here in Frankfort and the Lafayette Ivy Tech campus, which is a 20-minute drive away, they can graduate with an associate's degree. They can become a welder. They can become a tradesperson. They can graduate with next to nothing in debt, and they can literally walk into six-figure jobs every year. And the problem I have with our society is I think that we still, and for whatever reason, look down upon skilled trades, whether it be a welder or a plumber. You know, these individuals, again, they're graduating with next to nothing in debt. There's jobs that are desperately needed to be filled in these different skilled trade areas, and you can make a great living doing that. And so that's the reason we brought Ivy Tech here, and you pair that with our industrial park, and I think no matter what wage scale or what demographic background you have in this community living here, I think that we have provided opportunities to educate yourself at an affordable rate, and there's job opportunities there. But as a society, we need to be supporting our young people that don't decide to go the 4-year route. We would love it if they do. It's for some people, but not for everyone. And those that would like to get those trade skills, we need to also applaud them and support them and hold them up on a pedestal as really being a model of success.
And while that is happening, while these families are still relying on these programs, do you feel that you have the capability to fill that demand locally should this happen? And have you had any conversation with Congressman Rokita about this issue?
I can tell you we have a great relationship with Congressman Rokita. I can tell you anything that I feel we need to advocate for here in the community, I can pick up a phone and I can reach the congressman. The congressman does hold town hall meetings in our community, which we appreciate. I'm very concerned, Charlotte, with the workforce here in our community, and I think the entire state of Indiana should be, and I think that's something our governor is focusing on. Statistically, individuals over the age of 45, we're seeing that population growing in the state, and those that are under the age of 45 are leaving our state. So from what I'm concerned about is I am concerned not with a competitive tax rate or a competitive utility rate. I am concerned with getting individuals to move to this community, young professionals that want to raise a family after they graduate with that associate's degree or whether they graduate with that baccalaureate degree, to give Frankfort a chance and to come back here and say, you know what? Yeah, this would be a great place to raise a family. I think economic development in the 21st century revolves around quality of place. And that's why we're placing a heavy emphasis in our community. If you come to our downtown right now, you'll see buildings being revitalized. A new Greek pizzeria just opened up on the east side of the square. We have a $7 million private market rate apartment complex going up on the front page of our local paper today. We have renderings revealed for a brand new state-of-the-art park that will go into our downtown. We are trying to shift our focus in investing in amenities and housing that's suitable for everyone, and that will really make a statement to the region and the state and young people that graduate that, you know what, Frankfort is a good place to come back to. I believe if we can attract young people, if we can attract them and we can get them here, then when I have an industry that comes to the table, I can not only be competitive when it comes to an incentive package or the cost for ground, but more importantly, I can say, here's the workforce you have to draw from. Because I can tell you, right now, our industries, our small businesses, that's the biggest thing they're struggling with, is finding people to fill the jobs that they need to fill.
All right. And just to remind our listeners, if you do have a question for Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes, feel free to give us a call at 765-496-1999. You can also email that question to ask@wbaa.org or tweet us at WBAA News on Twitter. Now, speaking of businesses coming in, Performance Ag Indiana and Wilson Trailer are expanding into Clinton County, and they'll set up shop close to the corner of State Road 28 and I-65. Now, you've mentioned wanting to annex that land before that connects the city to that intersection, hoping to make a gateway to the community and to get tax revenue from a future industrial park there. Does the county's plan for that land in any way affect the city's?
Well, I think it complements the future vision of what I have for our community. And any leader in any organization, you can lay out a step of strategic planning, but then if something happens outside of your control, those plans can always change. It's a roadmap. In this instance, and I'll just call it what it is, the state legislature has made it so very difficult for local communities to annex property and to grow. That it's really almost impossible to do, if you want me to be blunt. And, you know, I think it's a case of that you have two or three communities throughout the state of Indiana that may have been incredibly aggressive in annexing property that maybe won't be developed for the next 100 or 200 years, perhaps. And so you have a couple state legislators that file bills that unfortunately have unintended consequences on every other city in the state that wants to annex responsibly. And in this case, I can tell you that I am completely shifting my plans. I have 2 years and 6 months left in this term, and with the annexation laws that have passed, my new set of goals is to work hand in hand with Clinton County and to help them get water and wastewater utility capacity to that interchange, because that interchange won't be able to be completely activated without utility. And we do own, we have Frankfort Municipal Utilities water and wastewater capacity. My predecessors had the vision of putting a lot of great utility infrastructure moving to the west, so they had that vision, and we're building upon that vision. So I can tell you that I'm working hand-in-hand with county leaders to activate that interchange by getting wastewater and water infrastructure there. I will state, though, that no matter what the cost of that is, that will not be done on the backs of our current ratepayers. The county will need to finance that. We'll be more than happy to help upkeep it. Of course, Frankfort Municipal Utilities, whatever investment goes out there, we will obviously be receiving some revenue from water and wastewater use and discharge. But the building of the infrastructure itself, I'm not going to put that on the back of the ratepayers of Frankfort. That's not fair, but I think it is incumbent upon us to work with the county to help them activate that interchange. And I think when that happens, I think you'll see more and more and more growth along 28 into the existing city limits of Frankfort. And over the next 2.5 years, I can tell you that I am heavily focusing on our current infrastructure, our current set of streets and our current corporate limits, our current set of utility infrastructure, the current state of our downtown. I want to make our current infrastructure strong so that whenever the next administration comes in, we have a strong core. And at that point in time, if strategic annexation is to take place, they have a strong core before grasping onto land that hasn't been developed yet, and we don't have the money to move utilities or infrastructure there at that time.
Does that make it harder for you to build an industrial park? So how much has your vision of what that area would be like? How much has that changed?
Well, we have one of the finest industrial parks in the state of Indiana that employs close to 4,000 people. I think actually Frankfort has one of the largest contiguous industrial parks in the state of Indiana. It's multinational. We are a food hub. I believe Frankfort is the city that feeds the state, that feeds the world. You just mentioned two agribusinesses, and within the corporate city limits, we have great businesses such as Indiana Packers, ConAgra Foods, one of the largest Frito-Lays in the world, Archer Daniels Midland, Zachary's Confections. So Frankfort, definitely, we do not lack when it comes to an industrial base. And I can tell you that I believe we have several shovel-ready sites that are in the current corporate limits of our city, especially around our municipal airport, our county municipal airport, that can be developed. So I think we have plenty to keep us busy over the next 2.5 years, and with the help of our county leaders activating the interchange, growth will happen in between that over the next 10 to 20 years. So, the vision is still the same, to create great careers for people, and having the base of Ivy Tech here is good. But, again, the next step is creating a place where people want to live and people want to be, and that's why things like Prairie Creek Park and Nickel Plate Flats and a beautiful downtown and a beautiful set of parks, connected trails, that's so important when it comes to economic development in the 21st century.
All right, we've got about 10 minutes left. You can still call in with your questions for Mayor Chris McBarnes at 765-496-1999. And you can also email us at ask@wbaa.org. Speaking of the Frankfort Municipal Airport, they were recently awarded $100,000 as part of the Airport Improvement Program. In Crawfordsville, just this past week at the city budget workshop, the aviation department spoke about how it's been working on a runway expansion for years, and it keeps needing more money to finish it. Do you anticipate this kind of problem when it comes to the Frankfort Municipal Airport in order to accommodate for those corporate planes that you want to draw in?
Well, I can tell you that we really, for the size of city that we are, we have an airport that's the envy, I believe, of this region and the state of Indiana. Now, obviously, Purdue University has a great airport that a Boeing can come into that airport, and rightfully so. They need those capabilities. We have actually extended our runway in the past 4 years. We now have a 5,000-foot runway. We're getting ready to build a state-of-the-art hangar that can house larger corporate jets. We now have de-icing capabilities, so if it's the winter time and planes need to be held in a larger hangar and they need to be de-iced, we can do that now. And the forefathers of this city having the vision to put that municipal airport, which is a county municipal airport, directly smack dab in the middle of our industrial park, it's huge. When I visited with the executives of ConAgra Foods, they were as impressed and as intrigued with our airport as they were with any type of tax rate or any type of road that would be built, because that ease of access of coming in, their executives coming in, making a quick pit stop for an executive meeting, and then getting back up in the air and onto their next set of meetings is so important. And we have a large enough runway that we are flying logistics planes in, so that components and parts that NHK needs to build seats that fuels Subaru's cars, that the cars that are being built in Lafayette, we can also accommodate those larger hangar planes as well. And we actually have plans to expand that runway beyond 5,000 feet. If the Super Bowl ever comes back to Indianapolis, we want to be in the running. If celebrities are flying in G6 jets, we want to be in the running for them to fly into Frankfurt and to be able to house their jets here and have a quick drive down to Indianapolis, or take, for example, the BMW Championship. If we have PGA golfers that are flying in instead of flying into Indy Exec, we want them to have the ability to fly into Frankfurt and leave their jet here and go down to the golf course and then come back. You know, our airport is a huge economic development engine, and with this multi-million dollar hangar project, along with our new set of LED runway lights and our 5,000-foot runway, you know, I'm a little biased here, Charlotte, but I honestly think that our municipal county airport really should be the model for other communities to follow, and I have no shame in saying that.
All right, I'm going to switch gears a little bit to talk about the Department of Transportation's five-year roads plan. Something included for Clinton County in that plan was the I-65 bridge north of State Road 28. Now, they want to remove the bridge in 2019 and fill in the gap left over, and there's an abandoned rail line below that. Would you rather have them take the bridge out altogether, or would you like to see it maintained?
Well, I can't speak to that directly because I don't know the exact plans, but what I can tell you is, and that is outside of the city limits, what I can tell you is what I'm focused on is in 2019, NDOT is coming in and they will be rebuilding State Road 28 West, approximately from County Road 200 all the way to what we locals refer to as the jog, and that's the intersection of Hoke and Walnut Street. That's the project I'm focused on. We have got to get that right, Charlotte. That road right now still has existing brick from the early 1900s, so we have heavy semi-truck traffic from all of our industries that go up and down this road traveling east and west, and what happens is those bricks underneath the surface of that roadway, they constantly shift, so that roadway becomes in very poor condition very quickly. Now, I will praise NDOT. They just came in. They resurfaced State Road 28 going through the community here, which was really nice, but I want to see, and that's going to be close to a $20 million project. I want to see that road built not only to withstand heavy truck traffic and vehicular traffic, but I want to see that roadway built with a pedestrian-friendly mindset and a gateway mindset as well. I'm talking about beautiful antique lights going over that roadway that we can hang banners on, potted plants, a multi-purpose path that can be used as a bike trail out to our industrial park. So residents that are living in the northwest or southwest or southeast portion of our city that work in their industrial park, in our industrial park, maybe they want to bike or walk to work. I want them to have that ability. And I think that this State Road 28 West project, this is our one chance in the next 40 years to get this right and to not only build a strong road, but to build a gateway into the western area of our city that will make our city welcoming and pedestrian friendly. And then to get that jog at Hoke and Walnut to actually be functional, because right now, if you get behind a car, and if anyone from Frankfurt's listening to this, they're probably chuckling. If you get behind a car that's from outside of our community that does not know how to traverse that intersection, it gets dangerous. So NDOT needs to do something with that intersection to make the traffic flow much, much better. So I've reached out personally to NDOT Commissioner Joe McGinnis, former Mayor of Franklin. I've reached out to our district director, Shane Spears, and so I'm going to get them on site, and I want to make sure that set of plans is exactly what our community wants and needs to make this roadway not only a vehicular roadway, but one that is conducive to walkers, bikers, joggers, and creates a great western gateway into our city, because we simply don't have that right now, but this is our one chance to get it right.
And in your own budget for next year, one of your major projects on infrastructure is rebuilding Washington Avenue from Hoke Avenue to William Street. So what can residents expect to see there?
They can expect a strong road. They can expect our first multi-purpose path or trail in the city. So theoretically, with South Mash Road and North Mash Road being rebuilt, our kiddos in the southeast portion of our city will be able to bike all the way up Mash Road, get to Washington Avenue, use the multi-purpose path. They can hook up with that at Hoke and get all the way to the TPA Park and the TPA Swimming Pool. They can also expect a new sidewalk on one side of the road. road where the multipurpose path is not, and they can expect improved travel lanes. And then we are also going to rebuild all of the utility infrastructure underneath that road, water and sewer. And then another huge infrastructure project that we have in the budget next year is our Safe Routes to School project. Our sidewalks are crumbling throughout this city, so we are aggressively funding a plan that's going to build over 8,100 square feet of brand new sidewalks throughout our community going to our elementary schools. And so it's going to cost around $900,000, but I believe, again, that's another important component in our community that we've got to solidify that infrastructure and make it strong before we look at growing and annexing. Let's make what we have strong now. Let's make what we have accessible and bikeable and walkable. And that way, future administrations can grow this city and continue to grow residential opportunities and industrial opportunities.
So with that project, what kind of timeline are residents looking at, especially regarding detours or closures?
Sure. So Washington Avenue, we're going to start that project in the spring, and we will make sure via Facebook, social media, through our website, and through media outlets such as yourself. We're hoping to keep one lane of traffic open at all times on Washington Avenue, but that will be decided. Construction should start next spring on that. And then also on Safe Routes to School, that project, the sidewalk project, will be completed next spring as well. So we're going to have to rely heavily on social media. Those things change and fluctuate, but I'm just going to, you know, our citizens should know a lot of paving is going to be done this fall. We just applied for a community crossings matching grant, so we hope to do another $800,000 of paving this fall. A lot of dust flying next spring and summer, so bear with us. Be patient. Give yourself an extra 5 minutes to get to wherever you're going. But at the end of the day, we're going to have a much more beautiful city and a strong city when it comes to transportation infrastructure.
All right, we've got just a few minutes left. So very quickly, the Clinton County Community Foundation has named Greg Aaron as its new president following Hilda Byrne's retirement. What is your impression of both his work, and what grants would you like to see brought to Frankfort, and for what?
Well, let me tell you, Frankfort and Clinton County would not be what it is without our community foundation. And I want to thank Hilda. One project that they partnered with us on is Ivy Tech Community College. That would not be possible. The renovation of the TPA fountain, historic fountain at our park, our largest city park, would not be possible. The rebuilding of our bird aviary this fall would not be possible. So those board members, Mark Hodges, John Milholland, Sonia Miller, Laura Mullen, Jack Ransom, Gene Robbins, Steve Rothenberger, Bob Schaefer, we appreciate all those people, and I wish Hilda all the best in her retirement. Greg Aaron, he stepped in. He was at our dedication of the Magnus Johnson Fountain, which was just freshly installed on the south lawn of Old Stoney here a couple weeks ago. I think the Community Foundation and the legacy that Hilda left, I think it's in good hands with Greg, and I plan on presenting to him potentially a partnership that could be had in regards to Prairie Creek Park and Project Home Run, because, again, I think as community leaders, we need to be focusing on building an amenity infrastructure that will make Frankfort a destination for people to live. And I believe if we can do that, jobs and career opportunities will follow. But the Community Foundation has been great partners to us, and I have no doubt that will continue in the future.
All right, we're just about out of time, so we will wrap it up there. Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for being with us today.
Charlotte, you did a great job. Wish you all the best, and we hope to see you on the streets of Frankfort very soon.
All right, and if you missed part of this program, you can listen to the rebroadcast at 7 on WBAA News. Join us next time, same time next week, for Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. For Stan Jastrzebski, I'm Charlotte Tuggle. You can find all this later at our website, that's WBAA.org. And of course, if you have a question for any of our mayors, be sure to call in during the show at 765-496-1999 or send us an email to ask@WBAA.org. Thank you for listening.